Today's daf in Masechet Shviit Yerushalmit is daf Pei Zayin, but we're still holding it, the Halakha Mishnah, on daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, and that brings us up to Halacha Dalet in Perek Yud. Okay, so we had the beautiful ending yesterday that talked about what happens if somebody wants to pay you back. Okay, so you say, Mishame Tani. But you keep your hand out, as we said. You mean chapshuta lekabel? I love that language. And you're whispering, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Really, it is. All right. But now what about on the other end? What about the guy who is paying back? So like, what actually is the way he should look at this? Is he supposed to look at it as being the correct thing to do? Or is it like he's saying, I'm more moral than the Torah is, and you shouldn't try to repay it? Like, how exactly do we view that? Says the Halakha Mishnah, Amachzir chov b'shvi'it, ruach hachamim nochai menu. And actually, if you do pay back a loan, even after it was shamut, and after the guy said to you, mishametani, and you want to give him back the loan, Ruach HaChomim is Noichem. And remember how Rashi explained that back in Bava Metzia? We had the beautiful explanation that Ruach HaChomim Noichem. Rashi gave that fabulous explanation that Ein Ruach HaChomim Noichem means that HaChomim, their minds just can't rest because it's like they're so distraught that people could be so awful. Like it just, that's a trap, Noichem, right? Not that they feel comfortable with them. No. That's not the point. So Ruach HaChomim Noichem Menu, so according to Rashi, that means that, well, at least they can live with people like you. Everybody else understands it to be a lotion of actual nochiyut. Like I'm feeling happy that that's the way that you acted. Hello, Veminagera. There's other things like this, where the Torah gives you the right to keep the money, and nonetheless, the Chachomim feel that the morally correct thing to do is not to keep the money. So for instance, somebody borrows money from a ger that never had any children as a Jew. But this guy, when he was Mizgayer, his family was Mizgayer with him. So he has sons. They're just not legally his sons. So then, what's the halacha? He's not mechuyev. If he borrowed money from the father, he's not mechuyev to pay back the sons because the sons are not legal heirs, because they're like, he's a katan shenoyla. These are not his legal heirs. But nonetheless, if you give his children back the money, the chachomim are happy with that type of behavior. So then, ruach chachomim is no chahemen. Fine. So in that case, it's like treating people in a way that takes into consideration their feelings about this and doesn't make them feel like this is what you get for becoming Jewish, you know. You end up losing your inheritance. This guy would have paid us $1 million if he would have remained goyim. So therefore, Ruach HaChomim Noichem Menu. Kol HaMiteltelin, another example of such a thing, where you're going to go beyond the actual rule of the law, you'll creep to the spirit. Kol HaMiteltelin, Niktan B'Mashiachah. The truth is, in order to be Kena Metatalin, you have to actually pick it up. Nonetheless, even in a case where no money passed hands and where no Mashiach was done, and you said, I'm going to buy this. You didn't do anything to buy it. And then you don't pull out, even where you want to pull out, Ruach HaChomim Noichem Menu, because a person is supposed to basically keep to his commitments. Remember, we had the din of Hin Tzedek. That's the Hin Tzedek and Lav Tzedek that we were derish from the pasuk Hin Tzedek Yelbach. So therefore, Kol HaMekayim Et Devaro, Ruach HaChomim Noichem Menu. So now, says the Gemara on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Elazar Omer, this is talking about giving it back to his sons. What do you mean, to his sons? Rabbi Yossi, boy, what do you mean? His sons, his children, that's what we're talking about. No, I'm saying that if he has male sons, so then you give it back to his sons. You don't give it back to his daughters. In other words, it's not that this is just that you're going to say, look, I borrowed it from him, I should give it back to his kids. That's not the point. The point is to treat him similar to the way you would treat a Jew who had, from the beginning, a real Yerusha, or to treat his children as if he had these children after he'd been misguided. So you give it to Din as if it was a Deoraisa. If he has sons, so you give it to his sons. If he doesn't have sons, you give it to his daughters. And that means that you're treating him the way that you would have treated. You don't go according to the way it would have been as a Goya, but rather you go according to the dinim of the Torah. That's what it means. Why would I think otherwise? Because Shelo Tomar, look, there's no real din of Yerusha here, right? So, Horiyo ve'en Yerusha tager dvar Torah. So, I don't have to worry about worrying about his daughters, because since I only am doing this, again, I'm going beyond the letter of the law, basically, right? So I can do whatever I want. No, you should actually treat it as if it was the deraisa. And therefore, if you have daughters and that's all that's left, give it to the daughters. You don't do some kind of random split up. Keyotzibo. There's another example of this. In a case where Misha made Sof Mishpachto, Vein Lo Yoresh Ela Imo. Now we can have the same case of a ger who dies, and all he has left in his family is his mother. So in that case, he's the last member of his family. He never had a child after he was misgayer. Vein Lo Yoresh Ela Imo. All he had was a mother who had converted along with him. So over there, you're not mechuyev to be marzir alone, lo yachzir. But if nonetheless, you give it to his mother, ruach hachamim, noichei hamenu. Even though a mother doesn't inherit her son, in this case, in terms of the deraisa, because the goyim are used to having a mother inherit a son. So because of that, you would be basically telling the mother, it really wasn't worth it to become Jewish. You look the way they treat you. You don't even get the money from your children. You don't inherit. So because of that, ruach hachamim noichei hamenu. Now there is, remember, we had the case back in Baba Kama about where there is actually a reason not to be mekabel something from someone who wants to return it to you. What was that? A gazlan she'asa teshuvah. Over here we have the takanas hashovi. So somebody stole something from you and he wants to return it. So there, a mekabel hamenu, in ruach hachamim noichei hamenu, because remember we had the whole story of the Maisa that was being made Rebbe. The story was that this guy wanted to do teshuva, remember, and his wife told him, you idiot, if you do teshuva, you're going to have to give away the clothes on your back. There's not one thing that you own that belongs to you. So when that Maisa became known, so Rebbe said that it's better not to be mekabel from him. Now, there, remember, the Gemara said specifically that b'mei Rebbe shanon davar zeh. This was a special takona that happened because of that mice, and it was during Rebbe's time. But over here, we don't find it. Our Gemara says that. It's mashma over here that it is not. This is against the sheet of the Tosfos that we had in Baba Kama, because the Tosfos says over there that it really was only a special takona for the Doros of Rebbe because of the issues of people trying to return at that time. Okay. Apparently here in the Yerushalmi, that's not true. And then, says in the Mishnah, that the Chachamim are happy with anybody who keeps his commitments, even though there was no kinyan. So Rabbi Chia b'shem Rabbi Yochanan Amar, somebody who is no seven no ten bidvarim. So he does business, and he makes these commitments, but they're only verbal commitments. And then he changes his mind. So it depends. Zimnim ta'atama in ruach Chachamim nechemena. Sometimes, all you need to say about a guy is that he's a bum, and the Chachamim don't think that that is very kind, decent behavior. But there's other times where you actually give him over to Bezdin, and he gets Misha Porah. Obviously, that is only if there was money. So if there were elements of money that changed hands, so then he's going to actually get Misha Porah. And if it was just a verbal commitment with no money at all, so then all we can say is, what a bum. Okay. Now, Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Abba b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, this is amazing because we had all of these sugyas just recently in Bava Metzia, Mamish, the whole thing. So somebody gives an Eiravon. Remember, I had this whole shaila before. If you give an Eiravon, is the Eiravon considered to be a down payment? Remember? And is it Kene Kineged Eiravon? Mamish, we have the whole sugya that we had over there back on Daf Nun, and then the end of Daf Mems. We had that sugya. So year two, the Yerushalmi closes with that sugya. So you give something as an Eiravon. The case is, that we mentioned, is you give a ring, you give him a gold ring. And now, you want to change your mind. So, is that considered to be money, which means that you were kena in terms of Misha Pora, or not? So they taina that Rabbi Yochanan said, Choserba, there's no Misha Pora. So Rabbi Zeira Bak, Amir Rabbi Abu, what if you gave him a Kruger Rand? Is that the same thing as giving him a ring? A Rolex watch? Like, is it all the same? Omar Lay, so he said, no. It's tabat, like it says. It's a watch. Or a ring. Not a coin. Well, what's the difference? Ma ben zahuv, ma ben tabat. I mean, basically, neither of them are considered to be the kesev that's over there. They're both being given as an eravon. You know, you got the Kruger hand and it's pretty box, you know, you open it up. I mean, why is that any different than the Rolex watch? So, ma ben zahuv, ma ben tabat. Because zahuv, darko leishtanot. You gave somebody a Kruger hand as a mashkan. And you don't have other cash. It's not unusual to say, keep the coin as payment. Because, I mean, after all, coins are coins. I mean, yeah, it's nice to have them in a pretty box, but they still have that straightforward cash representation. But a tabat, I mean, you gave somebody a Rolex watch. It's not okay, take the watch, and what do I do with the watch? Well, you know, put it on eBay. I mean, of course that's not normal. So the tabat, that normally is be'enu. That remains be'en as the mashkon. Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi and Rabbi Abohu, they quote Rabbi Yochanan as saying that if you promise the guy to give him a matana and you decide that it's too expensive or whatever, b'kesh lachzorbo, so then you're allowed to be chozer. This is exactly the sugya we had in Bava Metzia also. We're over there, the shaila was. Remember, we said, it depends if it's a big gift. So over there, the person was never semech das, chatchila. He never really believed you. So therefore, there's no pagam in actually changing your mind. Because it was all sort of, you know, I'd love to give you a gift. That's what it boils down to. But the guy knows that it's not an easy thing to give a gift like that. So that could be what it's referring to, like we said over there in Bava Metzia. Therefore, if he's mevakesh lachzorbo, he can be chozerbo. Kom Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi. So Rabbi Yosi bumps into Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi and he says to him, excuse me, did you ever hear of a pasuk that says, hin tzedek yelecha? Like, what? You're supposed to keep your word. I mean, sound familiar? So, ahon lav tzedek v'hin tzedek? Doesn't this, like, impinge on the halacha? So I say, you're telling me that there's no Misha Pora, I understand, but how can you say he can? What do you mean he can? He's doing the wrong thing. Said Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi, hin tzedek does not mean that having once made a commitment, you have to stick with that commitment come hell or high water. Hin tzedek means that when you said something, you meant it with all your heart. And if the situation had not changed, then you certainly would have done it. But we're talking about over here is, let's say, this is my mission again, local mice is brought by the Paiskin. What happens if the price changes? You know, you promised your kid you're going to buy him a car. You know, now all of a sudden the price of cars goes up by 20%. Can't afford the car. The kid says to you, but dad, you promised me a car when I'm 16, you know? Oh yeah, I can't afford it. So is that considered to be a violation of hin tzedek? Tainas Rabbi Yaakov bar Zavdi, no. Because if the situation changes, so then it's not that you are not keeping what you said, it's that what you said is no longer applicable. Whereas Rav, he says, that's terrible. I completely disagree with that. And Rav said, Kad ana ama livne beti, liten batana la barnash, lena chazarbi. If I tell somebody in my house, give Mr. So-and-so such and such a gift, I don't change my mind come hell or high water. I will never change my mind, no matter what. Now, this seems to be specifically because he told someone to actually give the gift. So we need to understand, I mean, like, how does that change things? He seems to be saying that, at least this is what the Gemara thinks. Later on, we'll see whether that's really true. But we think that the point is that even if you promised something big, which the Gemara Bar Metzia said you don't have to keep because the person was never semech on it, but since over here you told somebody in the house to actually give it to you, so then it's a din as if he already got it for some reason. Now that's a little bit strange. Why would it be? It's as if he already got it. So that's what we need to look into now. Because Lechora, the Braisa says not like that. Matnita pliga al Rav. If the Mishnah says, I should say the Braisa. The Braisa says like this. When do we say that just by moving something? So that's considered to be your kinyan on the metaltalin. And before that, you don't have a kinyan. That's only if you were standing at the time of the purchase in Rishus HaRabim. Or you're standing in an area that doesn't belong to either of you. But if you were standing in the Rishus of the person who's doing the buying, so then the moment that the seller agrees to sell, then you already were Kena because of Kenyan Chotzer, because now it's in your Rishus. So once he was Mekabel on himself, meaning the Moicher, Kiven Shekibel Alav, you're Kena without Mashicha. How about the other way around? You're standing in the Rishus of the Mocher. But there, it's not going to help you to do Mashicha either. You're only going to be kinda if you lifted them up, or you could do Mashicha, but you would have to do Mashicha to take them all the way out of the guy's Rishus into your own Rishus or into Rishus where you have a right to. So either Adshi Agbia or Adshi Amshich, you'd have to go ahead and keep taking the Mashicha to go out of the Rishus of the Baalim completely. Now, let's say that the thing that you want to buy is in the Rishus of a Shomer. So it had been given, let's say, to a Shomer Chinam, right? So it's Mufkadim Etzlo. So somebody is the one that's a Shomer on it. So what about then? So over there, the buyer is not going to be Kena until he has the Shomer actually be Zoicha for him. Or what he could do is the Shomer can rent him the Mokum. So then he's Kena because it becomes his Chotzer. But anyway, one thing's clear from here that even though there's a Shomer, and the Shomer has been told to sell it, it still doesn't go into the Rishus of the Kena until he actually is Kena with a Kenyan Chotzer, or until the guy does a Kenyan of Hagbor, or whatever he's doing for him. So how could Rav say that just because I tell my family members to give it, so fine, so your family members have a din of a Shomer, so what? That doesn't mean that the person was Kena it, just because the orders were given. So how do you explain that Rav should say that it's already yours and therefore there's no way to pull out? So Ma'avid la Rav Tami, what does Rav do with that braisa? Huh? I love that lashon. And the Rishami's always said, what does Rav do with it? Ma'avid la Rav, exactly. You'll never find a lashon like that. You know, it's not a Bavli kind of lashon. What's Rav going to do with the braisa? Well, he's got a simple way to explain it. He could be talking about a case where he says, I would never change my mind, even if the circumstances changed, or even if it was a large matana. That is talking about when the guy that was the recipient of the matana was standing there. Then he couldn't change his mind once he told the people in the house. Rosh Hinkin, the Bryce is talking about where the guy is not standing there. What is the difference? So there's two very different approaches here. One is like the very lumdish approach. That's the approach of the Gra. So the Gra tain is if the guy is standing there, then this has a din of ma'amat shloshtam. There's a special kinyan that we've spoken about before, that if you're ma'amat shloshtam, so the recipient is there, and the giver is there, and the shomer is there. So then it's considered to automatically be transferred from the Rishus of the Shomer to the Rishus of the Lokeach, the Rishus in this case of the Matana, of the Mekabel Matana. So that would explain this as a halacha of my mitzloshta. Okay. The not so lumdish approach, which is the mefroshim on the Yerushalmi directly. So then that's simply another one of these examples of smichas das. So if the guy was there and he saw this matana, even if it was a big matana, and he hears the Rav saying, you give it over to him. So there you have mamish smichas das. If you have smichas das, so then it becomes a violation of amana. So normally we say dvarim, emien, ein be mishum b'chusar amana, if we're talking about a large thing. But if the guy's standing there and he sees it, so then it does have a din of mechusar amana. So two very different approaches.